Modern Woman Podcast. And I'm your host, Danae Sweet. This is your public service announcement for this episode. It will include the F-bomb, among other carefully selected cuss words, so if any of that offends you, you may want to skip it. Also, want to put a disclaimer out there. I'm going to talk about some things that may piss some people off about our spiritual community. If this does piss you off, you can complain to me privately, danae@danaesweet.com, or hit me up on Facebook, okay? All right. Now that that's over, I'll let you back into the episode. Today, I am recording inside the shop, Sage Stone and Candle, because I put it off, to be honest. We had a metaphysical fair that we were at this weekend, and I was really, really tired. Normally, I record on the weekends and take Monday and Tuesday to edit and get it out, and I was just really, really tired. So I apologize for this coming out a little bit late, but I needed that day to myself. So yesterday I rode horses with my daughter. What else did we do? Oh, I hate admitting this, but at one point I was really tired and just kind of wanted to zone out. So I watched those videos on Instagram of people cutting soap, and that is such a, like, it chills me out so much to watch that. I know that sounds so weird, but I love watching them, like, cut it up and crunch it and that kinetic sand stuff. It, like, puts me in a daze. So, yeah, it's probably not very productive, but that's what I did yesterday. I'm well balanced. I rode horses and watched soap videos. Yay me. Anyway, today I want to talk about a couple things. I have an interview with Taryn Ash. She is an amazing Akashic Records reader. We're going to talk about how she got into this line of work and kind of talk about what it is and how it can change people's lives. Another thing I want to talk about, and I want to talk about this because I saw this at the metaphysical fair, but I want to talk about spiritual pissing contests. And what I mean by that is basically I'm more spiritual than you. My spirituality has a bigger dong than yours, like that sort of stuff. I'm not saying that everybody I came in contact with at the show did that, but I did see it quite a bit. So to set the stage for you, at the show, I have like a little 8x8 vendor tent, and the reason I use a tent is so that when people come to do to get a reading from me or get a Reiki session, they have a little bit of privacy. It's a super vulnerable thing to have done either one of those things, and both of those can cause some reactions like tears, and I just feel like it's nice to be able to have or provide them with some sort of privacy. And I know it's not the best privacy, but it's what I can provide at the time. So anyway, so I have this little tent with my witchy wares out front, and people, and it's double-edged sword. So I have privacy, but I think people forget that I'm even there sometimes because I'm kind of behind the table and behind the walls a little bit. So the vendors and other people around kind of, I don't know if they just don't notice or whatever. But anyway, we got to hear some pretty interesting conversations this weekend. One of the interesting conversations or like snipes at other vendors I heard was like, I have these little they're like shit, I'm so tired I can't even make the words come out of my mouth. But anyway, I have these skulls. They're little soap skulls that I made. And I, you know, somebody walked by and they noticed them and they kept walking and they had a couple people with them. And the comment they made was, why would you want skulls around? Or I would never want skulls around because I see dead people all the time. I don't need reminded. And it wasn't like they were saying it as in, like, they're genuinely like, man, I really don't need reminded of that shit. No, they said it nice and loud with their chest puffed out and their nose in the air, and was really like, you could, they were looking around, like physically looking to see if who heard and if they were going to get a reaction. So that was like one of the things that I heard. And it's like, it's just weird. Another thing that happened was there was a bunch of people like talking about what they would do with like a gazillion dollars. Like, what would they do with it? And like, everybody was saying what they were going to do with it. And there were great, noble, altruistic things that people were saying. There was one individual that just kept putting everybody down. Like, no, you're wrong. This is what we need to do to make the world better. Blah, blah, blah. And they would just talk louder and louder. And what it reminded me of was like, I don't know if you've ever been to those like churches where the preacher or whatever up front is just like talks in like prose basically, like is rhythmic and talks in prose and gets louder and louder so they can prove their point. That is exactly what this person was doing. And it was rude. I mean, people were legitimately going, hey, this is what I would do with the world. And she was just like tearing them down, like, absolutely not. Basically, you know, my spiritual dick's bigger than your spiritual dick, and I'm more altruistic, so, you know, suck it. And it was wrong. I was just like, Jesus, like, we're all supposed to be, you know, light workers. And I'm doing this in quotes. I know you can't see me, but I don't really like that word. But anyway, we're supposed to be quote unquote light workers and do better for the world and be loving and understanding with each other. But I saw a ton of just catty bullshit, and it's a small show. Jesus, we only had like 14 or 15 vendors, 217, I'm going to screw up that. It was a little over 200 people that came in. That was a total of both days. So it was a super small vendor fair, and for the amount of people coming in and out, I was hoping that it was a lot more loving, but I really, you know, I don't know. Maybe it was the place, the actual physical location in the spot that I was at that I was getting to hear a lot of it. But I don't know. I just noticed that. And I noticed it online too. Like, you know, I am a part of a whole bunch of different spiritual groups online. And sometimes I think that, you know, the my dick's bigger than your dick thing happens a ton. And I get that we're humans and we cannot help it but to have our ego pop out every once in a while. But I think this thing needs to kind of get into check. Like, I'm guilty of it, I'm sure. I'm sure there's been times where, you know, especially when I'm not feeling as confident as I should, or, you know, having just a shitty time of it, maybe that kind of stuff, I will be more apt to whip out my dong, you know, my spiritual dong, and compare it to others. But I catch myself, I'm like, and I'm ashamed when I do it. I'm like, oh shit, I'm an asshole. I look at that stuff and go, that is wrong. That is not what I want other people to remember me as. Like, I'm better than that. Like, I shouldn't do that. But I'm human. We all screw up. We all do things to make ourselves better, feel better sometimes when we're not feeling as confident as we'd like to. But how about check ourselves just a little bit? Like, look back at your last five interactions with people that were spiritually based. Whether it's a conversation, or maybe you have a business of this and you're talking to clients. Like, are you listening to them, or are you like flexing your spiritual muscles at them? And really look at it. Like, I this weekend really made me look at how I interact with clients and with people in general when it comes to, you know, spirituality. Like, are you talking to them, or are you listening to them? And I really want to hold myself more accountable, because I saw all of this happen. I don't want to be that. I don't want people to look at me and go, oh my gosh, you know, all she does is brag about the shit she can do. Like, I don't want that to be what you remember me for. I want you to remember that I listen, and that I care about people, and I care about humanity, and maybe I'm a little weird, and I don't care if you remember me for my weirdness, but the last thing I want people to think or to remember about interactions with me is, you know, that all I did was brag about shit. Like, that doesn't set a very good example for me and my business. Doesn't set a good example for others either. Like, sometimes you're the only person they've ever come in contact with that's a reader or a Reiki person or whatever. You are their representative. You are their whole representative of the community. And when you are throwing out that kind of vibe, it really screws it up for the rest of us. It screws it up for that person ever getting healed or receiving a genuine healing or a reading from people, because they're going to have that shitty interaction and go, yeah, nope, not doing this, I'm out of here, and they leave. You know what I mean? So what do you guys think? Like, I wanna know what your interactions have been like with the spiritual community. I'm talking about Reiki practitioners, healers, crystal healers, metaphysical people in general, psychics, mediums, whatever. Like, when you come in contact with those, what are your experiences like? What have you had any of these, you know, people, you know, bragging and not really listening to you, but just talking to talk? Also, I would love to know how you pick a reader, because this is kind of like what I started thinking about. When you go into a metaphysical fair or anything like that, there's multiple readers that do different kinds of things, but there's also a lot of the same thing. So when you go in, how do you pick one? How do you pick your reading experience? Do you go around to the whole show and kind of do it that way? Do you talk to each one? Do you go completely on gut and just go straight there and get a reading? What do you look for? And what turns you off as far as that goes? I would love to know. So please, please, please comment. I'm going to post this comment or this question in the Witchy Woman podcast group. Not the page, but the group. So if you're not a member of that, ask to join. But I'm going to post in the group because I want to know what you guys feel and how you actually choose one. I'm also going to post another question on that group. I want to know your worst spiritual experience as far as with a quote-unquote light worker. Like, what's your worst experience? I would love to know these scary-ass stories because I know they're out there. I've had some really shitty ones myself that at some point we will talk about, but I would like to, I want to know, like, what was your worst experience with a spiritual person? I mean, like, as far as, like, you know, whipping out their spiritual dong and bragging. I want to know you guys' experiences. So if you could please let me know, that would be great. You can even email it to me if you don't want anybody to know about it. Email it to me at danae@danaesuite.com. You can email me there and just let me know if you want me to anonymously share it or just leave it alone. It's just for me to read. So, yeah, that's about all I have to say about that. I wanted to talk about this weird toxic spirituality issue that I come across this weekend. Okay, so enough about that. I have Taryn Ash on the phone and let's get into that interview. So, I am here with Taryn Ash, Akashic Records reader. I have a couple of questions to start out with before you, like, go into, like, how you started Akashic Records readings and all that. So, this episode, I'm talking partially about people whipping out their spiritual dongs and having a pissing contest.
Excellent.
Yes. It was a prevalent theme this weekend, and I felt the need to talk about it. So I wanted to ask you, have you ever dealt with people like that? Like, and how did that work? How did that feel?
I've definitely encountered people who I would say, from my perspective, come across as spiritually, spiritually and morally, what's the word I'm looking for? Better than everybody else.
Absolutely. You know,
like, they feel like their beliefs is above everyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I don't, I've kind of put a wall between myself and certain types of beliefs because I cannot handle the pushy belief system. You know, if this is the right way, and if you don't believe in my way, then you are wrong.
Right.
I can't do that. So I kind of tune that out as much as possible. And I'm not really around a lot of people as much as you are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of isolated in that sense, but I do see it online. I mean, mm-hmm. It does get to be a bit much when people start to get a little too big for their britches, so to speak.
Absolutely. Like, I see it, and I see it a ton online, because I think you get, I call it Facebook balls. Like, they can say whatever, they do, like, they say whatever the hell they want, because they don't have to say it in front of anybody, like, to their face. So, I think
it's... accountability.
It's rampant. It's like... Mm-hmm. It's a, you know how, like, they talk about the dopamine rush when you get, like, kids watch, or they're on social media and they want the likes on Instagram because it's, like, a dopamine thing? I think, sometimes I think maybe it's the same thing. Like, they're like, well, my spirituality is better than your spirituality, and if someone agrees with them, they're like, oh, like, that gives them false validation, but it perpetuates this awful freaking cycle, and... I saw it, like, up close and personal this weekend, and I could not wait to just be done.
I don't blame you.
The whole weekend was, it was kind of, I don't know if it was because I became acutely aware of it, and then I was listening for it. It's probably more that. I'm sure there was a lot of good going on, but I heard it early on in the weekend, and then I was, like, listening, and I could hear it, and it was just... I don't know. It was very disheartening and annoying.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think sometimes a lot of it, people just feel like they're being almost shut out. There's so many different types of religions, and there's so many different types of beliefs. And, you know, our types of beliefs are kind of getting more mainstream. And I think that makes some people nervous. And absolutely. They kind of, they push back.
Yep.
You know, like, they feel like they're being pushed out. And it's not that at all. We're not doing that. It's just it's a different, totally different way of believing things.
Yep. It was interesting. We had, so... Oh, I want to word this diplomatically. There was the organizer allowed some Christians that were, like, trying to give away Bibles or sell Bibles or something, they allowed them to go out front of our event center and basically hustle the people that were trying to get into the metaphysical fair. And the reason being behind this is she wanted to come across as, we are open, we're love, we're light, and we're not trying to shut out any of the Christianity in the community. And I think it kind of, like, from my perspective, I don't want to go into a fair where I have to go through basically a picket line of people trying to peddle their religion to me. And I had people come into the booth and say the same thing. They're like, did you know there's people out there? Like, maybe you should get them to leave, because that's really annoying. And then my other thought is, we all paid to be there. Like, we're all spiritualists, and we were peddling our own spirituality in one way or another, whether it's through readings or through product. And I felt like if they wanted to be there, they should have paid for a booth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree with that completely.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have complained, you know, probably if you would have got special privilege over something.
Right.
That way, too. So it should be even, I think.
I think if we're going to stop this, my religion's better than your religion, we need to stop... tiptoeing around each other as well. Like, that would be like me going to one of these Christian, you know, the churches on a Sunday and peddling my flair or my spin on spirituality to them as they walk down the door. And I guarantee somebody would have had me removed.
Oh, yeah. That would probably not go over very well.
No. We even had them come into the... They were nice. They were respectful. We had some of them actually go into the show and, like, hand out, like, basically some, I don't know, paper stuff, like some brochures, whatnot, about about Jesus and stuff to us vendors. And I thought it was... They were nice enough about it, but I can smile and call someone an asshole, too. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I felt like it was, I don't know, it really rubbed me wrong, and it was probably because I was tired by Sunday afternoon, but I don't know. I just felt that was weird.
Yeah, it does seem a little out of proportion with everything.
Mm-hmm, it did. Oh. All right, I'll stop bitching now. Okay, so I want to first ask, like, what led up, how did you get into actually doing Akashic Records readings? Before we figure out what they are, I want to, tell everybody, like, how that happened.
The backstory. Well, it's kind of a long story with a lot of different, you know, synchronicities and stuff, and I don't think I really knew what it was. I think the first thing that happened was my friend Grace had sent me a tarot deck, the Akashic Tarot. And I thought, well, that's cool. You know, I'm not that great at tarot, but I really like the cards, and I find it interesting. And then the little booklet inside that tells you how to work with the cards, they recommended some books. So I thought, okay, well, this is cool. Maybe I'll buy a book and read it.
Right.
So I'm going on Amazon, and of course, I don't find the original one book that I wanted to get. I find like five other ones instead. But I come across this author that I thought was my grandmother's, one of her favorite authors. And so I thought, well, we have a shared interest. I'll buy the paperback, and then maybe she'll read it, you know, when I'm done with it.
Oh, yeah.
So I buy these two books, and we get them, and, well, we find out that she doesn't, it's not the same author, and she has no interest. So they become my books then.
Yay.
So I read them, and I think it's very interesting. And there are some exercises, and she totally, the author is Linda Howe, by the way, and she totally tells you how to do all of this. But I just felt like it was not the exercises for me. I felt like I needed to hold back and maybe find a teacher at mm-hmm. some point.
Perfect.
So I kind of just set it aside. And also through this friend, I had made a mutual contact, Laura Hosford in Georgia, and she does Akashic Records readings. And I knew this, mm-hmm. and I knew she teaches classes. But I, at the time, I was in a place where I was just kind of, I didn't know where I was going with my life, my spirituality. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, what my main interest wanted to be. So I kind of held off thinking, no, I'm not ready for this yet.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm watching one of her prayers, I believe it was a prayer meditation or something, and she was speaking about her classes that she was going to have in the upcoming months. And I had made a comment, you know, that I was interested, but I just didn't feel that it was the right time for me. And so we kind of started talking back and forth, and one of the reasons was at the time I didn't really have the money to just jump into something I felt that I was not quite ready for. Well, she worked with me through that. I mean, we got a payment plan going on. I decided, well, it might as well. She's nice enough to work with me. Might as well just jump in and do the thing.
Nice.
So I signed up, and it was kind of a whirlwind after that. I didn't really do it thinking it was going to be something that would become such a big part of my life. I did it because I was just curious. I thought, well, you know, what's the harm in learning something new?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was something I could use for myself. But it's really turned into something much bigger than that. And I've been able to use it to help other people. And just that process, mm-hmm. me being able to offer other people support and help has helped me grow in return. So it's been just this very, very awakening and growing experience for me. So it's been pretty cool.
That's awesome. And I love, because I know you, I know that there's like, all the synchronicities, like, I know that you, uh-huh. there's things, and I think that's so freaking awesome when, like, spirit kind of, like, I call it breadcrumbs, like, they toss you stuff, like,
yes.
Hey,
yes.
How about this?
So, it was just always there in the back of my mind, like, my eye would snag on certain words, and it's just, you
right?
get these little reminders that you just can't quite get away from, and that's, mm-hmm. yeah, you get those for a reason, absolutely.
Yep, I love that. Okay, so, for those who don't know what Akashic Records are, and then can you explain what they are, and then also kind of how it works for you, because I'm pretty sure if it's like reading anything else, it's like everybody kind of has their own process.
Right. So basically a quick way to think of it is they're like an energetic archive of a soul's past, present, and future. And some people think of it like a digital archive, a computerized archive, or some people think of it as a library of actual books that mm-hmm. you can access for information. And actually this author that I read, Linda Howe, she describes it as a dimension of consciousness containing a vibrational record of everything that every soul has ever thought, said, or done over the course of its entire existence, as well as the future possibilities. So it's everything.
That's awesome. That's big.
It's basically yes, it is. It's really interesting. It's basically a universal consciousness that we're all linked to,
right.
like a connective tissue between our souls and source or spirit or God, whatever
mm-hmm.
your word is.
That's awesome.
And so the word Akasha is Sanskrit for primary substance,
ooh.
That out of which all things are formed. So it's energy in its purest and earliest, right. basically.
That's freaking awesome. So like, for me, it means, like, I can liken it to, like, when we do Reiki, like, that's source energy. So mm-hmm. to me, mm-hmm. it kind of is parallel. Like, it's mm-hmm. the source.
Yeah, I think of it, for me personally, I think of it just as a source of consciousness. I don't really think of it as a place that I go to so much
mm-hmm.
as others do, but yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so how exactly does it work? How does it work? What is your process? Like, how do you actually access this collective consciousness, this mass consciousness?
So it's actually, we access it by raising our own personal vibration to match the higher vibrational point of the records, which is fifth dimension or higher.
Mm-hmm.
And
It can be done a number of ways. People have done it with meditation, chanting, acupuncture. Some people can do it spontaneously.
Wow.
But the way that I was taught through Laura Hosford and the way that I find it's easiest for me is through sacred prayer.
Okay.
Because prayer is basically a focused intention, and a prayer that I've learned, there's two of them, but they hold basically the key to the vibrational energy required to access the Akashic Records. So when I do a reading for people, I don't have to have their current legal name,
mm-hmm.
because that in itself is a certain vibrational key.
Oh, cool.
And so I read the prayer and access it, and then the way that the information comes down is we ask questions. That's how we interact with the records. And the light, you think of it as a pillar of light that comes down
mm-hmm.
through the crown, down into me, and it anchors in your heart. And then through that pillar of light, the information flows. So I'm just a channel. It comes into me, and I express it to the person I'm reading for. And I do it. I'm clairvoyant. I'm clairsentient. A little bit clairaudient. Different ways. You know, I see things. I hear things.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I see words.
Oh, cool.
And so, yeah.
That's awesome. Man, you've done a handful of readings for me, and I've never asked why I need my full name, and like you always ask for permission each time. Like I have gotten multiple readings, and each time you always, you know, ask if you have permission to access uh-huh. my records and use my full name and everything. So I have never actually asked that. So that's kind of cool. I never knew why.
Yep.
That is cool. Oh, I wonder what else I wanted to ask. So how much do past lives have to do with, like, our struggles, like, today? Do you deal with any of the past life stuff?
I haven't really gotten into it a lot. Well, a little bit. But it can absolutely affect what's going on today. Sometimes I've had some personal issues myself come up from a past life that have caused some issues in my current life.
And right.
I didn't know that until I was in an Akashic, someone was giving me an Akashic Records reading,
uh-huh.
and I found out that information. So it can, you know, if you're struggling with a particular block, you can ask, is there something in a past life that's recurring and causing this issue?
Right.
And if there is, you'll get that information. So it can help you in that way, too.
Oh, that's cool. Like, if you, that way you know not to repeat the pattern again.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
And yeah, it's good to help problem solve.
Also, is it harder to read, like, can you read your own records?
I can.
Okay.
And I've gotten better at it.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest for me is a complete stranger that I know absolutely nothing about.
Oh, yeah.
Because then I'm not worrying that I'm going to accidentally direct the record or the reading because I know the person.
Absolutely.
That's always a concern in the back of my mind. But
mm-hmm.
I can. I'm getting better. And I started out receiving information through automatic writing. I would just start writing. It would be a word here and there. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes now I get pages of information.
That's so cool.
It's really, really progressed.
That is so cool. Do you keep a journal, like an Akashic Records journal specifically?
Oh, yeah, I do.
That is so cool.
I try to make the records a daily part of my morning routine. It doesn't always work out that way, but I try to do it at least a few times a week just to keep going.
Right.
And the more that I work in that higher vibration, it also raises my vibration, which is, you know, healthier for me. I'm expanding my consciousness and helping me heal and
mm-hmm.
and all of that stuff, too. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. That makes total sense. I know that, I don't know what it is in the air, but I've been lacking or slacking on my own personal spiritual practice. Like, I usually, uh-huh. you know, chill with my guides and meditate in the mornings. And I know lately, like, I've not been doing it as much. It's better now that I see the sunlight in spring. Like, I have this little, I don't know if it's that's changing it or what, but I feel more, I don't know, for lack of better words, like, spiritually motivated, I guess.
I felt that too. And I think there's just something going around because I've had days where I just don't even meditate. I cannot connect.
Yep.
And it takes me a couple, 2 days to get back on track after that.
Absolutely. I don't know what the heck's wrong, but I'm hoping that springtime and sunshine and everything will just kind of magically fix it all.
Yes. Absolutely.
I hope so. Okay, so how does it work for you? So do you have guides that are specific for the records? Like, how do you actually go about when you do it?
Well, the Rubrics themselves are watched over, and there's different, people use different terms, but basically there are a group of beings of light that watch over the records and, you know, maintain their integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you access the records, they work with you as well as your own team of guides,
mm-hmm.
your own spiritual support team. And they are the ones that help give you the information that you're ready to receive. They're not just going to give you, you know, all the information all at once.
Right.
We're only ready to receive certain amounts of information at certain times, just what we're ready for.
Okay.
So you always rely on, they're always going to give you what you need to know and never any more than that.
Okay. Well, that's very, that's, okay, so do you have, so I know you, like, we all have spirit guides.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, and like, for me, I have guides that help me, I have a group of them. So I have my spirit guides that help me with Reiki healings and stuff like that. And then I have guides that help me through, like, actually doing a mediumship reading. And then I have, you know, mm-hmm. I have specific ones for specific things, I guess. Do you have any of your own that are specific for record reading?
Well, we each have what they call masters, teachers, and loved ones that you connect to in the group or mm-hmm. in the records.
Okay.
I don't know any details about them, really, and I don't think you're really supposed to focus on who
right.
they are so much as just that they're there and helping you.
Oh, cool.
And I always call in my regular team of guides to help me. They're always there to assist in any way.
Perfect.
And beyond that, that's about it, yeah.
Okay. How do you, because I know some people are going to be like, I'm going to get questions about what the hell is a spirit guide and how do you see it? So
mm-hmm.
can you explain, and like for me, I actually see mine because my, a lot of the things I do, I'm very visual, so I see my guides uh-huh. as people. Like, I can tell you how they're dressed and what they look like, and then I can hear them. So how do you experience your guides?
For me, it's, I haven't really seen them, but I feel them. It's just like a,
right?
a very comforting presence around me, you know? Think of it mm-hmm. like some people believe in guardian angels, like there's always a guardian angel watching over you.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to that. There's always a group of beings, you
right.
know, they're not here in the physical, but they're energy and they're around me and they're constantly supporting me and guiding me and loving me. And it's a very
positive
and uplifting experience.
That is freaking awesome. I know a lot of people, when they ask me in here, they'll ask about, like, why can't I see my spirit guides?
Uh-huh.
And I try to get that across them. You don't have to see them. You can feel them. It's whatever, you know, however it's best for you, and what's best for you might not be like seeing their nose hairs, like
exactly,
you know.
Exactly. And I tried for the longest time to see them, like not everybody, but a lot of people I know
right.
can see them, and I for the longest time I was frustrated because I couldn't do that, but
mm-hmm.
that's just not my way of communicating with them.
Absolutely.
Everybody has their, like you said, everybody has their unique way of communicating with them, and I
yeah.
assure you that they're there.
Absolutely.
It just takes some time and working with them.
Absolutely. Take some time and don't rush it. Like, I remember trying to rush it. I was like, God damn it, I just want to see you guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say it probably took me at least a year of regular meditation and just letting go
mm-hmm.
of expectations before I finally really started to feel a connection with them.
I think I'm probably about the same time frame. I mean, and it was
mm-hmm.
like making myself meditate every day.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
Not skipping. I
think, yep.
And I think part of that is once you start doing that, you start to let go.
Yes.
After meditating that many times, you let go of expectations, and that's when things start to happen.
Exactly. The expectations for me is a huge, huge part. I am constantly working on that because it's so hard. We're just so almost trained, you know, to expect things. So
well, yeah.
That's always an issue to work on.
Absolutely. So what is the most asked question? Do you have a most asked question that people ask you to dig into the records for?
I get a lot of questions about life path. You know, what is it
mm-hmm.
that I'm here for? What am I meant to be doing? You know, I'm lost. I'm not happy with what I'm doing. I need some guidance, that type of thing.
Okay.
And it is good that you do get some good information, some guidance. I mean, it's not hard and fast information. It's just...
Mm-hmm.
Just guidance, really, and then it's up to you to act on whatever information you get. And I've seen some people really get some good information, and a lot of help that way.
Right.
It's been so humbling to be able to help people to help find their course in life.
That's awesome. I know I have gotten, I don't know how many I've gotten from you now, but it's been a handful. Because
mm-hmm.
and I get the best. To me, when because I can't read myself. Like, I can do a mediumship
yeah.
reading or a spirit guided reading for somebody else, but I cannot, authentically do it for myself. I might be able to get the information, but I'm not going to believe it.
So, yes, I'm the same way. Yeah.
But the when I get the information, when you do a records reading for me, it's all information that I can use. It's all stuff like, and I love the fact that it all involves free will. It's not, it always is, well, you could do this.
Exactly, yeah.
But it gives me choices that I can think about. It gives me, because, you know, I think for me, when I ask for a reading, it's because I'm lost or I need something to anchor and go, okay, I need choices, and I have too many of them in my head, so I need something to focus on. And when I get a reading from you, I can go, okay, let's look at this choice A, let's look at choice B, and I get some kind of actual direction that I can go forward instead of just, I feel like sometimes spinning my wheels is like, really frustrating. Yeah, it's frustrating, and when I get a reading from you, I don't feel like I'm spinning my wheels anymore. I think, okay, I have a direction. I have these things I can choose from, these things that I can act upon, and I don't feel like I'm just, you know, chasing my tail.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
So I that's why I love them so much.
Yes, they're wonderful.
So, let's see. What else? So have you had anything like weird happen in the records? Like your first time accessing. For me, I want to ask this because for me, like the first time I did a reading for someone, you know, it was like I felt like I was a wackadoo. You know?
Yeah.
I felt like, oh my God, this person is going to think I'm an absolute like weirdo. What did it feel like? It was a weird, did something weird happen? You know, what was it like?
Well, it's a process you have to learn. And for me, there was always an inner critic in the back of my mind going, you're not getting information, you're making this stuff up.
Right.
You know, it's not real coming through. And it took me probably a good 4 to 6 weeks of solid, damn near everyday practice before I started to kind of let go and think, well, I got this. This response is not something that I came up with myself, so this is actually a legit thing. And yeah, I still sometimes in the back of my mind, I still worry whether or not they're going to be like, what is she telling me? This is weird. I don't think this is what I want to know, but it's never been like that. I've never had a response like that from anyone.
Good.
It's always been an overwhelmingly positive, sometimes very surprised response.
Right.
I've had readings where I have picked up things about people that they have not told literally anyone.
That's awesome.
And that's always an eye-opening experience for me too. So.
Absolutely. No, that's awesome. I really like that you're doing this. And in our area, there's like, I think the closest Akashic Records reader I think I saw was like Denver. So there's really nobody around here that even does that.
Not that I've heard of, no.
And most people don't even know what that is. So I think it's really cool that you're able to do that for this area. And for people like you do this by phone calls a lot, right?
Voice recording is my main thing, but I need to expand into phone calls, and eventually I do want to do it in person eventually.
Well, that's what I'm closing, like crossing my fingers, hoping that you'll do that in here in the shop sometime.
Yeah, I would like to eventually. I'm learning to be more social with this kind of stuff, so it's kind of a step-by-step. This is like a big step for me doing this interview, so thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Absolutely. I'm excited. I'm just excited for you. I think it's freaking awesome, and it's so cool that you have, you know, this gift that you can share and, you know, help people. And I see it changing you, too. Like, because I'm close and I see you and I interact with you daily, I see how it's like you're way more zen.
If that, yes.
Like, you're, I mean, we all have shit that happens that shakes up our world, but like the big things that are happening in your life that normally, like maybe 2 years ago, would have like just really pissed you off bad, doesn't anymore. I mean, I'm sure you're seething, but you're seething in a collected way, if that makes sense.
You learn different ways to process, and it does. Yeah. It feels like I'm growing more into myself. I'm maturing through this process, too, and it's a wonderfully mutual thing.
That's awesome.
Because not only am I helping the person that I'm reading for, but I'm also helping myself at the same time. So it's just a beautiful process.
That is amazing. Okay, so I know I'm going to get the question. So how do people contact you? Can they get you on Facebook and talk to you about Akashic Records? Or do you have any other way you want them to talk to you?
Yeah, Facebook Messenger is a good way, or they can also email me.
Okay.
I can give you my email address when we're done here, and perfect. You can set that up. And those, right now, eventually, I hope to have a Facebook page, but for now, awesome. Those are the best ways to get
okay. hold of me. And what I will do is I will post that in the show notes, and I will post that in the blog post that goes with this. That way, everybody has the information they can get to it then to get to you.
Perfect.
Yay. Well, thank you so much for talking about this awesome thing and this awesome gift that you have. I appreciate it. I'm so excited because I said something about this last week, and I've had people text me like, when are you going to have it? Like, when are we going to do this? Like, what is it? And I was like, just wait for the episode.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So, yay. Well, I am so excited. So I will make sure I post all that so that everybody can get to you and get a reading from you, because I've gotten a handful and they're amazing people. So check her out.
Thank you.
Perfect. Okay. All right. Well, it's time to wrap this episode up. I want to thank Taryn again for coming on and explaining to us and sharing her amazing gift of Akashic Records readings. I also want to thank all the listeners and everyone who has shared the podcast, subscribed, rated the podcast. It was so freaking awesome to run into actual real listeners at the Metaphysical Show this weekend. Shout out to Samantha. She was cool and awesome, and I don't know, I just felt kind of fangirl when I met her, because I didn't really think about meeting anybody this weekend that was listening to me ramble on. So I thank everyone who listens and takes the time out of their day to chill with me. On the next episode, I am hoping to get the interview with my friend who is a diamond dowser. That is another holistic energy type healing modality, and I cannot wait to share that with you guys. So that among some other things, so stay tuned for episode 10, guys. All right, bye.